Good morning. So my name is Brian Toro. I'm the director of the Case Investigation Partner Services Division of the Bureau of Sexually Transmitted Disease in New York City. I'm going to speak to you today about the outcomes of HIV Partner Services activities with our own STD clinics from January 2014 to June 2016. So to give you some background, it may not be very surprising for you that, and you may have heard this several places in the conference, that persons with a diagnosed with HIV positive and or can acquire newly sexually transmitted disease present a risk for the transmission of both HIV and STD. Also, studies have indicated that men who have sex with men or MSM that are HIV positive have high risk of acquiring a new STD. Partner services are a fundamental component of HIV and STD programs. They are also resource intensive, dedicating extensive program hours for the investigation interview of infected individuals. In addition, staff are also asked to contribute time to serve the public within the public health clinics, the STD. New York City Department of Health employs 60 disease intervention specialists who in the 2015 conducted approximately 4,500 interviews for persons diagnosed with STD HIV, which includes syphilis, lymphogranuloma venereum, HIV, and select gonorrhea and chlamydia cases. The health department is also required to provide partner services for co-infected STD HIV persons as a result of the CD-STD prevention grant. To give you some history on who we speak to in for our interviews, New York City routinely conducts partner services for persons diagnosed with syphilis under the following criteria. Those considered at higher risk include pregnant women, persons presenting with ocular symptoms, and those under years of 20 years of age, regardless of syphilis staging. Diagnosis of primary and secondary syphilis under 45 years of age, and lastly, early latent syphilis or latent syphilis with a high titer that are under 45 years of age and are considered high priority, such as women and those that are HIV co-infected. In January 2014, we began providing partner services for persons with prevalent HIV infection who were newly diagnosed with gonorrhea and at any New York City Department of Health clinic. Since the burden of disease within the city was so great, we decided to scale it down to just focusing on the New York City clinics. So what do we want to what was our objective? We wanted to evaluate the HIV outcomes of partner service interviews for people co-infected with GC-HIV diagnosed in the New York City clinic, and also compare them to the HIV outcomes of partner service interview for people co-infected with early latent syphilis along with HIV within our STD clinics as well. We chose to compare early latent to the gonorrhea cases because that's most closely similar to the interview criteria that we currently experience, where early latent cases are interviewed when they're co-infected with HIV. So how do we go about collecting this information? Staff conducted partner services interviews per the CDC guidelines and the trainings that they received. Those interviews and partner disposition information was entered into our case management system, otherwise known as MAVEN, and then MAVEN was used for partner data extract, and then the outcomes were compared. As a result, what did we find? Partner service interviews were provided for 497 persons with prevalent HIV infection who were newly diagnosed at our STD clinics with gonorrhea and or early latent syphilis. 351 of those cases with gonorrhea, 146 were early latent. Nearly all patients were male and mostly reported sex with men. Patients also had a similar median age, as you can see, 30-31. So as the red box indicates, a total of 274 partners were elicited for the 497 interviews that were conducted for an overall contact index of 0.6. Gonorrhea had a contact index of 0.5, and early latent syphilis was 0.6. The next highlight shows that a total of 99%, similar to the original person that were interviewed, nearly all the named partners were male. Here you see that at 81%, we were able to make contact with most of the partners that were elicited by the DIS staff. Here, you can see that a combined 56%, over half the persons that were identified, were found to be previously diagnosed with HIV, with a larger proportion for the cases in the early latent but a large proportion with 60% within the early latent cases. Unknown status for HIV was 31%. And if you see, unknown status would include those persons that refused to be tested or we were unable to locate them through the partner service, through normal partner service notification. HIV negative testing was 13% of the persons that were identified. And then lastly, for those that were found newly positive, 5 out of 274 persons that were identified as needing notification were found to be newly diagnosed with HIV, which is 1.8% of the contacts that were identified. 2.2% of the gonorrhea cases, which is 4 out of 185 partners and for gonorrhea, and in early latent syphilis, 1.1%, or 1 out of the 89 partners identified were found to be positive. So what do we conclude from this? A large number of partner services interviews were conducted, which resulted in only 1% of those interviews identifying a newly diagnosed case of HIV. The great majority of those newly diagnosed HIV cases, which is 80%, came as a result of having done a gonorrhea HIV interview, while twice as many new HIV infections were found in comparison to the early latent syphilis interviews, twice as many gonorrhea cases had to be conducted to find those cases. There were low contact indices for both gonorrhea and early latent syphilis patients with prevalent HIV. While albeit a small difference, there was a slightly better contact index for the early latent cases. And 62% of the partners identified from early latent syphilis had been previously diagnosed, reducing opportunities to identify new positives. Though there was a significant amount of partners with an unknown HIV status, those that do test HIV negative have important opportunities to be educated and offer services for HIV PEP and PrEP. So our limitations, what we found was, we did not examine how many new cases of gonorrhea and early latent syphilis were identified, which could provide support for the effectiveness of these partner services activities. As is probably with other jurisdictions as well, staffing constraints limit the number of interviews that can be conducted, which is why the gonorrhea interviews are limited to the STD clinics. And a complicated process for data entry and linkage of cases and partners could over or underestimate the reported outcomes. And results may not be generalized to other jurisdictions. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge the Case Investigation Partner Services staff who conducted interviews and did perform the partner notification, my co-authors, Robin Hennessy, Ellen Klinger, Julie Schillinger, and our Assistant Commissioner, Dr. Susan Blank. Any questions? Yay.
That was great. I'm Mari Gezerowitz from Wisconsin, and we're doing some similar work. I'm wondering whether you thought about looking at viral load, viral suppression in order to sort of limit whether you were going to go follow all or not.
So no, we did not look into doing viral load as a factor because we do not track viral load within our clinics. We do not test for viral load. We are a screening facility, and we would have to go back and try to catch up with the provider that is treating them. So we do not use that as a limiting agent for those purposes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Hi, Emily from Texas Department of State Health Services. We also did a similar analysis.
Okay.
But one of the things that we found was that, especially for the gonorrhea investigations, the proportion of investigations that resulted in no contact initiated, where no partners were listed at all, was extremely high compared to other diseases. And we think that might have had an impact on why the contact index was so low.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry if I missed that in your table, but did you look at the percentage of cases that resulted in NCI?
I don't think we specifically looked at the number of cases that are NCI. We also had issues because the cases that we have are limited to the STD clinics. In the beginning, there were missed opportunities in us finding and interviewing persons because the majority of these interviews occur on date of visit,
mm-hmm.
because they come in with symptomatic, mm-hmm. and with the DIS. we'll interview them as a presumptive interview, or if they're seen by the physician, they then in turn will refer them to the DS to do the interview. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those persons weren't routinely forwarded to us, so having to track down somebody that's already been treated and the situation been taken care of provided some difficulty. But we did not look at specifically those cases that have NCIs.
Great presentation, Brian. Bruce Furness from Washington, D.C. And I just have, there are two questions, but it's kind of getting at the same thing. When you added incident gonorrhea onto prevalent HIV to the disease intervention specialist's docket of things that they had to look into, mm-hmm. did you take anything off of it? And specifically, did you happen to look at the contact indices of early latent syphilis before and after this change and what the DIS were doing?
Okay, so no, we did not look at the contact indices for early latent syphilis before and after. As a relation to did we take anything off, in 2012 we did reduce the amount of work that they had to do by changing our interview criteria, which is why you see that we only interview persons under 45 years of age. Prior to that, we were interviewing basically anybody that was diagnosed with syphilis, and it was very much a burdensome thing, and we found that people over 45 weren't really talking to us, so we limited to that threshold. And as a result, they did have some fewer cases. And as a result, we happily gave them more stuff to do. So yes, we did take away some stuff and added some stuff in the process. All right. Anything else? All right. Thank you.